It's nice to see everyone here tonight. We know the number's not like Friday night, but we realize there are other meetings that are in progress. But we thank you for coming very much to the meeting. We give you a very warm and hearty welcome to the gospel. This could be the night that you could get saved. It doesn't take the size of a meeting. Just a matter, it matters really if you really want to be saved. Trust there might be someone like that tonight. These meetings continue Monday through Friday at the hour of 8 o'clock, preceded by a prayer meeting before and after. Thanks for the Lord's people for their exercise and prayer. Appreciate it very much. We need God as we enter this third week. I'm going to make a little request. You who are not saved, just make up your mind that you're going to go in for it. Don't miss the meetings if you can't help it. Those that come nightly are usually those that get saved. I will speak to God in prayer. Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gospel of thy saving grace. We bless thee for the land of liberty. We thank thee for this freedom that we enjoy in Canada and also over the border, in that we can preach the gospel, protect it. And we thank thee for this, the liberties that are ours. Our Father, we appreciate that we can rise in a building like this with an open Bible, and with, we trust the fear of God, and with deep desires that Christ will be exalted, and that some soul or souls in this meeting, not only in this meeting, but in other meetings that are in progress, might be reached by the mighty power of the gospel of thy grace. There are a number here in this meeting, and they look back, not only do they look back nightly, but for all eternity, we shall look back to the moment when we trusted in the value of the death of Christ. Awakened by the Spirit of God as to our deep need, we thank thee, Lord, that thou didst save us for eternity. We thank thee for a message that reaches all men of every class and every creed and every culture. We thank thee all is removed when we come to this great book of God and recognize that God is speaking to humankind. And we trust that there might be the ear that will be attentive, the heart that will be opened, the soul might be disturbed and awakened, and some sinners led to the Savior tonight. O God, we believe there will be souls saved tonight, somewhere. And a number will be saved, and heaven will rejoice, and the devil will be defeated, and his goods will be delivered. But there will be those that will remain in captivity, in darkness, hell. O God, we pray to remember sinners. We cry to thee for them. For once we were where they are now, and thou hast saved us. And thus we pray that thy name be glorified tonight, that Christ will be exalted in the preaching of the word of God. We enter our third week. It is with trembling, as we think of 2 weeks past, and the gospel has been preached. A large number have heard the gospel, and we feel our weakness, Lord, and our inability, and cry to thee for divine power from heaven and wisdom, the gracious help of the Spirit of God, that right to the close of this meeting we might sense that God is in the place of a truth, that thou wilt quieten every heart. Calm, Lord, in this meeting we pray of thee, the hush the enemy, and calm his tactics in trying to take away the seat. O Lord, we pray to hear us. Give us help tonight, as return thanks for thy Son, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now turn with me to the little book of James. The little book of James, on chapter 4. The little book of James in chapter 4, please. Well known, these are very well known phrases that I want to dwell on tonight. James 4 and verse number 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Now turn back, please, to the book of Luke. Luke's Gospel, please. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke in chapter 18. And verse number 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. There's a verse in the Old Testament we read the other evening. I'm going to read it again in the book of Jeremiah on chapter 8. On verse number 20, Jeremiah 8, verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not seized. Now, I trust God will help us. It'll be very easy for you tonight in the meeting to pick up what's on my heart. By the help of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to present these four very, very definite points from these scriptures that we've read together. You could mistake them. That is, we have a life that is passing, or a passing life. We want you to consider that very simply in the meeting, a passing life. We're not here to stay. That's what it's basically saying, a passing life. And then we want to look at Luke's Gospel, a passing Savior. They said, when this blind man heard the tramp of their feet coming along as they were following Christ, he couldn't see him, but he could hear the crowd. And he asked what it meant as they were passing. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. So we have a passing Savior. A passing Savior. We believe that very relevant to every gospel series and even tonight. And then we want to think of a passing opportunity. That is, that this man, this blind man, when he heard that, he just didn't say, well, all right, let him pass. This man had the passing opportunity of crying for help. And he did that. And was blessed. I hope tonight there will be those in the present meeting that when the Lord Jesus is trying to reach you through the gospel or through a tract or through a singing of a hymn or through text on the wall, whatever he uses, whatever circumstance, and you are hearing his voice, he's trying to halt you. I hope tonight that you'll grasp that opportunity, and not let it slip through your fingers. You know what the Word of God says? How shall we escape if we let slip through our fingers this great salvation? That's the meaning of the Word. That's the force of it. How shall we escape if we neglect? Let it slip through our fingers. Let it run away from us. So, a passing opportunity. The tragic verse of Jeremiah 8, I want to apply it. I know it's to do with a nation. And I know it's to do with the coming enemies that are going to come in and carry them away and all that type of thing. That's the background. But I want to just take up the principle. A passing harvest. You see, friend, the time will terminate. Gospel preaching will cease. The preachers will stop preaching. Saints will stop praying. And your time of harvest will be gone forever.
And the tragedy is, there'll be those who will take this language upon their heart and lips.
And if I can get help from God in another world, they're crying this language. The harvest is past. Summer's ended. And I am not saved.
See, friend, there's a sweet side to the gospel. It's lovely to preach the gospel. The Bible's full of it. That's the commission. Tell out the glad tidings, glorious message. The emancipating power of the blood of Christ. The work of Christ alone is the way to heaven. That's wonderful.
But friend, tonight in the meeting, maybe we'll need to start tonight that God would help me to get into your soul before you leave this meeting. That this is a passing life and you've no guarantee of tomorrow.
And I quote the Bible, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I'm not here for scare tactics. We're here for reality. Throughout our Bible, we wouldn't even need to go to incidents that happen in our own lives. And things that we read about that have really happened. To tell us very, 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 very graphically, life is short. Life is brief. My friend, the Bible is full of it. There was a man in revelry, and he saw the finger of a man's hand writing on the wall in the book of Daniel, while it read in the balances, and found wanting. Your days are up. Your days are numbered. You've no more opportunity. You've passed the boundary line.
Maybe someone in these meetings, I hope not, oh God forbid, but I can't help say it with a trembling voice, some of you could have passed the boundary. Shortness of it, the brevity of it. Some people think when they're small, well, you know, when they're young, they say, well, plenty of years. I thought that way. Sure I did. When I was 9 and 10 and 11, I couldn't wait till I got 15 and 16. When I was 15 and 16, I couldn't wait till I reached 21. And that's the way it goes. And then suddenly you dance upon you. Albert, your life's almost gone. Humanly speaking. But my friend, we know we have no guarantee of tomorrow. If we could guarantee you tomorrow, we wouldn't preach as we do preach. But it's because of the solemnity of the Word of God unfolding to us that we do not know what's on tomorrow. It's a passing life, says the writer in the book of James. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Here today, gone tomorrow, friends. And the Bible's so graphic. Our life's like a handbreadth. Stand, my friend, out on a mountain. Reach your hand up and look at the breadth of your hand with all that's around you in the atmosphere. How slender, how small it is. So is life. And again, remember the writer in the book of Job says, your life is like a weaver's shuttle. And I know we don't have the old looms that they used to have, the way they weave the linen, but friend, that's the graphic language that is used. Mr. Bingham, who has preached in this hall probably, and is in meetings, he always tells about his father, only heard one gospel meeting before he could say, only one. And the man that preached must have preached about eternity, must have mentioned the Word, and must have labored the Word. Maybe he thought nothing was done. Mr. Bingham Sr. worked in the weaver's factory in Eden Derry. I know it well. And after that one meeting, he went and he was working at the looms. And as he watched the shuttle go back and forward and back and forward, you could hardly follow with your eyes. And this is his own words. Every time that shuttle went back and forward, I heard it in my own soul and conscience. Eternity, 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 eternity. He said, I couldn't work. The word eternity gripped my soul so deeply. He said, as I was leaving the table to go up the stairs, his mother said to him, William, that's William Sr., is there something wrong? You don't look yourself. She was a Christian lady.
He turned around and he says, "Mom," as he held the end of the banister coming down just at the bottom, where he took a step up to go upstairs, as he put his hand on it, he says, "Mother, I was at one meeting, only one." He said, "There's a word I can't get out of my mind." She said, "What are you trying to?" She said, "Son, God's speaking." Mr. Bingham Sr. got saved within 24 hours and wasn't inside another meeting until God saved him. You know why, friend? He got the message. You haven't got it yet. Hasn't reached you. Hasn't penetrated. It hasn't got into your mind. Oh yes, you know you should be saved. And you know Christ died. And you know the Bible's true. And you know the blood was shed. And you know the story. The ABC, friend. But it's never gripped your soul. I need this desperately, urgently. I need it now. God's time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I've never in my 41 years seen yet, with my eyes, anyone getting saved that didn't count the cost and say, "I want it now." Mark it down. That's why, you know, old Joe Stewart, mind you, some of these old preachers, they maybe hadn't got the lingo that we have today. And maybe they hadn't got all the words and the sophistication, but they were soul winners, and in their heart they burned after souls. They wept for them, they prayed for them, they preached for them. Old Joe Stewart used to say, "Very seldom lingers this year." I always remember hearing Mr. McAleen tell me that. The old gentleman always hammered to his audience, "Very few lingerers get saved, they linger past the door. Only those that are urgent, that are real, that are honest, that really want it." Now, friend, what is your life? It's just like a vapor, it's like a handbreadth, it's like the weaver's shuttle, it's like the swift ship. Ships that leave the strand and head out, and you're sitting and you're packing or whatever you're doing, suddenly you look, they're on the horizon, they're gone over. Or they're like the eagle, my friend, that's sitting in the crag of the rock, and suddenly it sees something down below. And swiftly it leaves that crag of the rock, and it's on its prey, just in that swift, my friend, descent. So is your life. Life at best, very brief. Like the falling of a leaf. Like the binding of a sheaf. Being time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Stop a moment, friend. It's a passing life. You'll soon come to an end. Wherever your soul is. I'm glad the second one is a passing savior. A passing savior. In this short space of time that God allots to us, whether it's 20 years, 40 years, 100 years, that small space, it's only a small space, friend. If you stretch it to 100 years, it's only a brief season. It's only a little speck, as it were. In light of eternity, the unending, unending ages. And here's what we read. Here's a man that's a blind man. Illustrative of sinners who are blind. They can't understand the reality, the urgency of the matter. They don't grasp the immensity. The reality that they need to be saved. This man hears the crowd, the tramp of the feet. He said, "Who's passing?" They said, "Oh, would God visit us tonight. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." See, friend, he has come into Vancouver a number of times. He has passed by. He's trying to reach you. He died at Calvary. He paid the price of sin. He opened up the floodgates of God's love. He's beckoning men to come to him for salvation. He's declaring that the work is done. Salvation's free. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by our self-efforts or joining a church or trying, my friend, to turn over a new leaf. He has made it so clear, friend. Salvation stands 100%. on the work of Christ. So you know what he's doing? He's just passing through different times in a city life, and country life, and home life, and individual life. Certain seasons, certain times, he's passing. I'm convinced tonight, I hope I'm right 100%, I hope we're all right here, that he's passing through Victoria Drive in these meetings. Trying to get your attention, trying to reach your soul, trying to alert your mind, trying to tell you, look, I'm passing through, I'm moving on. There's other places I will move to. There are other places that I am interested in. There are other people need to hear the message. But right now in Victoria Drive, men have bowed their knee, and sisters have bowed their knee, and throughout the day there's prayers been made and offered to God. Constant, your name's rising. We pray before the meeting, after the meeting, through the night, whatever it might be, friend. And even lying in bed will say, oh God, remember that boy or that girl. And God is making it clear to the heart of those that are saved and passing through. Do you catch the point? He's passing through. He's not always going to pass through. He's passing through now. Do you ever hear people when they're telling their conversion and meetings come along and say, when we went to those meetings, we heard God's voice. One got saved here, another there, and suddenly it dawned upon them. Jesus is passing through, we better get in on this. And something happened, there started to be a real work of God, and souls were awakened. An urgency, my friend, was put within their hearts, and they said, we have to get this settled. This is the only way, friend, according to this book, that people will get saved. A recognition that Jesus is passing through. It's time to reach. Give me, and I want to get to the third one, another opportunity. A passing life, swift, suddenly comes to an end. A passing Savior is coming through. He's trying to get people to realize my third point, a passing opportunity. You know, friends, sometimes I tremble in my preaching. You know why? I believe the night that God saved me, right or wrong, I believe it in my own soul. Had I missed it that night, I'd missed it forever. You listen to every conversion, you'll find the same thing. My opportunity had come, it was within my lap and within my grasp, and I made one desperate effort. I want to get God's salvation. Mind you, our effort didn't save us, or her decision didn't save us, but heaven was watching. Just what was going on within the bosom of that sinner? Did they really want it? Do they want my salvation? Are they putting me first or second? Where am I in their thinking, in their priorities? When it is the priority, I want Christ. I want to be saved. I want it desperately. I want it now. God sees that. Listen, God will never disappoint an honest and an urgent seeking soul. We went to Iowa a number of years ago, not the first time or the second, I think it was the third time out. There were two preachers had preached just a year before, and there's a young man come to those meetings with his girlfriend, and a young farmer boy, his father was saved, his mother was saved, and he got troubled and got concerned, and the preachers preached and preached. It went 6 weeks for that boy. But he didn't get saved. His girlfriend put him past it. Listen, I don't know what you're tampering with that will put you past it. But generally speaking, those that miss salvation, there's some particular thing that puts them. I don't need to shout tonight. I would like it to find its way into your soul tonight. I hope that you have searched your heart and asked before God as we preach the gospel, what am I putting first? That girlfriend could have passed it. We went the next year to that place, but in between the year that he was attending the meetings and troubled, and we've gone back there for meetings to her, something tragic happened to that boy. It's a different story now. Where he worked at a bit implement, farming implements where they sold them and showed them to their customers, farmers and so forth. Big combine harvesters, big John Deere tractors and all that kind of thing. Making different implements too. This man had the patent for certain things in the farming. And this boy in the lunch hour, a customer had come along and he went to this big combine harvester. He was on display and there. And he started it up. He wanted to show him how it worked and all this. Tears away and not recognizing the danger. He got caught in the belt with his hands. And that belt took him right through until it snapped his arm off. He fell on the ground. He started to cry. Help me. Please don't let me die and go to hell. The boss ran out and put a turn on the main artery. He got the ambulance coming. And the boy's breathing in pain and he's crying. And all he can say is, please don't let me die and go to hell. It's a difference now, you know. You get him into the ambulance the whole way, the nurses, one on each side. They tried to pacify him and tried to calm him. And he kept saying, please don't let me die and go to hell. I am not saved. I'm not right with God. Please don't let me die and go to hell. We just come after that boy. God brought him through it. He got married to that girl too. I'll never forget going up the driveway when we landed there for meetings. It was on my heart. I was up and he had two buckets in his hand. One with the artificial arm. And the other was the good arm. And he leaned right round and we met face to face. And as I looked at him, before I could even get a word out, you know what he said, and I hope you get this. He said, Mr. Hull, you don't have to ask me. I did everything. That boy come to every meeting. His wife said to him, bitterly, she said, Dwayne, if you get saved, you might as well pack it and go. She says, I'm not staying with you. He finally took her to her own mother's because he was coming to all the meetings and she couldn't stand it. She said, so he took her back to her mother's to stay for just a few days while he was thinking about these things. And God saved that boy. I never forget when he got saved. It was a thrill. You know what the end of the story is? She did leave him. See what his story is. Much and all as I miss my wife, thank God I'm saved. I got God's salvation. Friend, tonight, look, there's nothing. You name it. You put it down the list. Write it down in a white sheet and put it down, friend. There's nothing that you could ever come up with. Money, education, friends, whatever it might be, doesn't matter. Put the list, friend, right before your eyes. And ask yourself the question as you go down the list, is any of these things worth missing God's salvation for? And you'll have to be wise, friend. I'm sure you're wise. I'll give you that. You're that intelligence and say, Mr. Hull, absolutely nothing. God's salvation must be first. And that's what here this man said. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. When the crowd heard it, they said, hold your peace, man. Well, it says he cried out the more. I've often thought, you know, that this blind man, he got past the crowd. You know, the crowd said, Hold your peace. Don't be so alarmed and don't be so excited about it. There's another day coming. No, friend, this man recognized he's passing through. This is my opportunity. And when they told him to be quiet, he shouted out all the more. Another gospel says he threw away his garment. In other words, nothing would deter him or hinder this golden opportunity within his grasp. This man got past the crowd. You know, there's another man got above the crowd. That's the key, as he got up the street, got above it. He was small, he wanted to see Jesus. Chapter 19, he got above the crowd. There's another woman, you know what she did? She pressed through the crowd. Yeah, they were blocking her way. She was determined. So you can see the urgency in the pictures. Very graphic, man. One man got above. They're not going to hinder me. Another man got past the crowd. They're not going to stop my crying for salvation. The other woman pressed through the crowd, elbowed her way through until she touched the hem of his garment. My friend tonight, you will never, never, never enter through those prayer-hung gates or sing the song of redeemed until you're urgent. My brother sat in the back of the car after he could see it, going to a meeting. In the little tent there in Raskul, God was working. And he said to me, Albert, what are you going to preach on tonight? I said, Johnson, you're asking me a question I can't answer. Because I can hop around from one to another. I don't know where I am till I get there. Anyway, he said, well, one thing I want you to do. He said, would you tell that audience? They'll never get it unless they're determined. He said, my determination didn't shake me. He said, I was determined to get it. In fact, he says, you know what I want you to tell them? But I got to the place where I said to God, oh God, even you'll not save me, I'm determined to go after it. That's the way he's thinking of. God didn't disappoint him. He could save the 12 o'clock one night sitting in the bed, wife sleeping. Great respect. You see, friend, a passing opportunity. My brother would be preaching. I've never asked him what he's going to preach. He don't do that. But I hope as you listen, you have in your mind already the seed dropping. I can't put this off. I can't procrastinate. I can't just steal a marching God and say, I'm going to mark the calendar down the road. I intend to get it. I never intend to be in hell. Friend, the road to hell is paved. Good intentions. Let me close. And I have to tell you this very quietly. My sister attended the deathbed of a 19-year-old. She says it lives in her memory. She wrote it to me when I was in this country. The father and mother both went to heaven. The boy was given just a matter of 48 hours to thereabouts. Those two dear Christians, my sister was a nurse, they said to Evelyn, and you were very wise, said, Evelyn, would you mind? We can't face an end to see him. Too big of a task. Would you mind getting in and talking to him? If you can. My sister went into a little ward. 19-year-old boy lying. Soon to go out of eternity. Half coma. He was in a coma. And then he come out semi-conscious. Then he would come to a little. And then back in. He was just back and waiting back and forward. My sister put her arm around his neck. Started to talk. Weakness. She said, do you hear me? And he would do that. She said, I want to tell you the gospel. She poured into his ear verses that we have quoted in this platform and verses that are on the wall there. Then he would do this. I'm almost trembled to say this. I hope everyone hears my voice, even in the
gallery tonight. She got his last words. His lips were moving. He was speaking in a whisper. The heart is his heart. Summer's here. And I am not saved. That's me, Lord. I feel like the end. I know that I love. We love you too. So visit me. It's a passing life, tomorrow's eternity, hidden from your view. It's a passing Savior, and you've got a golden opportunity that's in your lap tonight. But listen, oh, the tragedy of lamenting for eternity. The harvest past. Summer.